Okay, we've dropped the line to the transmitter site up in Monticello, Maine. And now it's just you and me, kiddies. Just us here on the side where we could use words such as shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits to whatever extent we wish to. Not that, of course, we would, because that would be pandering to the lowest common denominator in broadcasting, which is something I'm well-versed in. I'll admit to that. But it's not exactly, you know, what I want to do when I get on the side here. Not that I have any idea what I do want to do on the side here. I don't know. Do we want to do here on the side? I don't know. Is there anything that we really didn't get to tonight that we should have discussed? I don't think so. Let's see. Oh, yeah, no, because I think maybe after tonight, with the exception of those bits that we're all but through with Don Imus now. Although one thing we did not get to discuss on the BCQ portion of the extravaganza tonight was the fact that I believe on Friday, Imus made it official. He lawyered up. He hired a lawyer. So he's not going to get back on the air. So I assume this legal engagement is required for him to settle up his contract with either MSNBC, CBS Radio, or both, so that he could receive the financial remuneration that he no doubt feels is accorded to him. And I hope he gets every cent that he originally signed on for and more, because once again, last time I swear, just taking into account some of the things we discussed this week, Alex Baldwin airing that tape, and MSNBC airing those tapes at a nut job that killed 32 people. How the fuck does nappy-headed hoes? It's not in the same league. It shouldn't even be in the same universe. It's insane that was ever enough reason to put down a career, to pistol whip the guy, and then to finally take the gun and blow his fucking brains out because he engaged in the type of racial humor that some people consider to be bigoted, and you know it might even be. I watched last week's CBS 60 Minutes revamp of an interview they did with Don Imus some years before. They broadcast it last week, and of course I found it. Well, you find everything, YouTube, and I watched it. And boy, I think it was Mike Wallace, held the feet to the fire there when he said, well, you know, on the side before with our producer, you told our producer that the reason you hired your producer there, Bernard McGurk, was to do nigger jokes. And I misresponded, Jesus, I don't think I ever used that word. And Mike Wallace asked his producer, he said, did Imus say that or not? And his producer said, yes, he did. At which point, Imus at least fessed up and said, well, then I guess I did. Well, what does that say about Don Imus if he admits, although off the air in a situation where he thought it was going to be private, for your ears only conversation, what does it say about Don Imus if he said that the purpose of having Bernard Gurk there was to do the nigger jokes? He could have put it so many ways, but he had to put it that way.
What does it say about Mike Wallace for saying that on the air?
Well, see, that's ridiculous. What does it say about Mike Wallace? Wait a minute. What does it say about Mike Wallace that he brought it up or that he used the dreaded N-word?
No, that he brought it up. Because if I tell you stuff in confidence off the air.
But he was under the impression it wasn't confidential.
Yeah, but if I tell you stuff off the air, that may be of a personal nature or my attitudes, it's not your responsibility to bring that up to, say, embarrass me on the air.
But was it confidential? Imus was having this conversation with his producer, was it known in advance that whatever you say now is for our ears only?
That's what I mean. Was it? Is there something there?
Imus appeared to believe so, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. But in highly charged situations like that, where you have the goods on someone, do you have an obligation, kind of like MSNBC running those tapes, do you have an obligation to make it known to the public that he used the dreaded N-word? Do you have an obligation to call him out, particularly when one of the primary points of contention in the course of the interview is to perhaps try and display real bigotry and racism on the part of Imus? He might have been negligent in his reporteral duties. Hey, boy, talk about making up a new word. I just felt the need to do that. He might have been negligent had he not brought that up, because that's, you know, that's hitting the type of hot buttons. That's what people want to hear. And that also gave credence and validity to the views and opinions of those people that have long seen Imus as a bigot to some level, whose job has been to inculcate in the public a certain degree of racism and bigotry, but of course disguised as mere comedy and satire.
Well, you know, it's what you call discretion. It's, you know, do you air it? Do you have, you know, can you, would you say this? Would you expose it? Would you be a bad guy to say this on the air? Back in the 50s and 60s, we didn't. You don't think the reporters knew about JFK's affairs and kept their mouths shut?
Oh, of course. They all knew about JFK, but back then, the sexual peccadilloes of presidents and other politicians was not for air.
They were kept, like, discreet.
That was almost like Victorian times compared to the go-for-it-who-gives-a-fuck nature of programming and broadcasting today.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying that's, you know, I would say was a part of deportment we had back then, all right? You know, whatever you do is your thing. It's like you can say what you do in the bedroom is your thing, all right? But I don't care.
You're damn right, because if I spoke about half of what I did in the bedroom on the air here.
Yeah, okay. You get the idea.
Well, I talk about maybe 10% of it, and that's about it.
Yeah, but would you want somebody to come out and say what you did?
You know what? See, me, personally, I'm at a point in my life, as you well know, I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks of anything I did, but it should be up to me to discuss it, not somebody else.
Yeah, once you get over 50, you usually don't give a crap because your life is changing. You know, you're on that downhill side. So what?
It is. Now, wait, the downhill side. Has this program lost anything off its fastball or its curveball?
No.
You know, are we like Yankee pitchers giving up big hits in the late innings?
No. What I want to think of, in my life, okay, say what, okay, so I got married, you never got married, but the point is, what is
not
the,
yet.
Yeah, okay, I married because I expected to have children, a white woman, because I wanted white kids. I didn't want to have the burden of a mixed race kid, a mixed marriage with the pressure on it.
Why? Were you involved with a person?
No, I was not involved with a person.
So then why did you even bring that up?
No, but I did. But I knew a few girls, which I, if I had my druthers, if you know, I could have gotten close with. And possibly
so you were thinking about the possibility of engaging in coitus with a woman of color?
Yeah, but okay. But or Oriental or whatever it may be.
Well, Orientals, okay. You know, they're almost white.
Okay. But you get the idea is that when you're young and you've got the image and you're going to have children, you want to have, you know, to carry on what you are. You know, first of all, you're Italian, you want to marry an Italian. But you get older, okay, I'll marry a Jewish woman.
You sound like some friends of mine. Ah, you got to go out and find a nice Italian woman. There's no such thing.
You get the idea.
Of course I'm serious.
Now that you get as old as I am.
Not quite. Not yet.
All right. You're not going to have kids. You're not going to be socializing the way you were. The stigma is not there. Okay? If I want to marry a black woman, fine. I'm not going to have kids with her. I don't have to worry about that burden.
Well, you might get sloppy, you know, and end up with a child that looks like her, which, of course, would have to be preferable to any child looking like you.
A black woman of my age or whatever. All right? I wouldn't give a crap now. I could fall in love with whoever I want.
Yeah.
All right? Because I don't have that pressure.
I often wonder about those mixed marriage deals there, you know?
What's the why?
You actually want to finally say something?
No, I'm just curious. So
this is the quietest producer in the fucking business.
Oh, blow me. I was just... Wait. No, I just was curious about how you're going to follow up on what you just said.
Meaning?
What could you possibly need to know?
Yeah, I brought him on.
What do you mean need to know?
You just said you were curious about mixed marriage.
Yeah, because, you know, I know people of mixed marriages, maybe like black, white, or, you know, like one partner of mine, your basic generic issue Irish guy married to your basic generic issue Puerto Rican woman.
Yeah. I knew I once
fucked
handled,
up group that is, I guess.
I want Taylor
love him to
Irish
death, but
Irish Puerto Rican.
Oh man! The knife fights, but you know when she's not swinging the knife around him, she's using it to cut those potatoes for dinner.
I once handled a computer repair. The guy was Puerto Rican. The wife was Irish. They had two teenage kids. You wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, and by the way, what
but
did
you
they
be able to tell?
I've
Irish
never
either.
Met my friend's kids.
You know,
what the?
Now back in the day, one of my best friends.
Was black?
Italian.
Oh, wow.
And he married a black girl. And mm-hmm. they had kids, and there was no problem whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I shocked my entire family when Scott had his little ceremony there. She was Scott's grandmother. Scared the
Well, I guess that could be a downright frightening. So, no, I've always wondered, I don't know. I shouldn't even be discussing like stuff. It's out of my league to be discussing such stuff because the minute you do start discussing it, it obviously becomes racial in nature. I don't know. If I fell head over heels, preferably high ones, stiletto type, with a woman of color, how would I feel about the fact that that the children, my progeny, might be significantly darker in shade than me? I would think, knowing me, that I wouldn't give a flying will lend. It would be meaningless to me, and I'd love them to death because they're my children, and that their color would be absolutely irrelevant to me. What would be strange about it, of course, would be, you know, the whole social thing of, Jesus, that's John's kids? God, you mean John's married to a...
Well, I told you that the one after Arlene that I dated was this girl Susan. She was her mother was Italian, her father was German, German half German and half Jewish.
So, half German and half Jewish. That's a fucked up situation.
So, name was Maya. You know, you know, but she was half Italian.
Sounds like it was Maya, God Almighty. How could I deal with this? Well, we're close to wrapping up on this edition of the Extravaganza. Before we take a phone call, believe it or not, I want to play one more time that bit we played earlier that Mike seen. I want to do? Hold on a minute there. I'd be curious to see if I can find the original bit. So you can hear the degree to which we did editing on this. You know, sometimes people think, oh, this just works out so simply. But do we have the actual? Hold on, we're trying to find the actual. I think this is it. I think this is the original commercial as was issued by a certain comedy company that we have no license agreement with, but played anyway. There we go. It's okay, I think we got it coming up right now.
Irma Anderson is a real Geico customer, not a professional actor. So to help tell her story, we hired professional actor Alec Baldwin.
My daughter just got her license and had a little fender bender at the mall.
What? She is a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Oh, she called very upset on her cell phone.
Once again, she's pulling this crap with the damn phone situation.
So I told her I'd call Geico.
Your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass.
Geico said they'd send someone out right away.
I'm going to fly out there for the day and straighten your out. I'm really going to make sure you get it.
Geico was a lot nicer than some people I know.
I'm tired of playing this game with you. You have insulted me for the last time.
All right, now there's the bit as it was received here at the 11L facility. Now, here's how it ended up actually going out over the air. Okay, that's the wrong bit. Let's try. See, we're in overtime now. It really doesn't much matter. What's the matter over there, pal?
I was getting into that music. I was about to get up and march up.
Thank you, John Philip Sousa.
I know. What the hell is the name of that bit? Oh, wait a minute. We might not have even saved that bit on the side. You know the way I saw that bit? I literally, when I made that bit, I considered it to be a one-off. Like, this is okay. You know,
so
we'll play
it
once.
Put it in the middle of a stop set.
We'll toss it away. Right. Threw it in the middle of a stop set like that, like it doesn't matter. And then it turns out to be the big hit of the show there. So let's see if we can find the stop set is what we'll do. And we'll play. Hang on there, Ert. We'll get to you in a moment. I do want to get this out there one more time. As soon as we could actually find it, that's the hardest part, is finding where the hell we actually put that bit now. Stand by there. Deenie, let's see. It wasn't in there.
Eeny, meeny,
easy now. Kind of hollers. God, I don't even remember where the hell we played it. What was the name of that? That was the Geico. the hell is playing in the background? Oh, that other beast. All right, we better take the call from Earth.
Yeah, I think you better.
We're trying to find out. Now, hello there, Pally.
Hey, good show, guys. Really enjoyed it.
All right, thank you.
Sorry I'm calling in so late. Probably not as many listeners. How was the listeners online tonight?
I don't know.
71.
I know. Okay, thank you. I never checked 72. Thank you. I never checked the figures until we get off the...
Nice. Hey, I wanted to call in. You guys were talking about mixed races and everything. You know, actually, I am... Well, I wouldn't call it so much mixed. My father is Welsh, and my mother is Hungarian, so I guess that makes me well hung.
Uh-huh. Not bad.
Oh, Zaldi.
So, on a serious note...
Well...
On a serious note, if you remember back in the 80s, they had a lot of shootings at post offices, and the term got, it was coined, going postal.
Yeah.
How come society doesn't make those terms so much anymore? Is it because everyone wants to be politically correct? I mean, what's happened?
That might have a great deal to do with what you're discussing. Maybe people are somewhat more timorous these days because of this need we have in this country, pretty much in the world overall these days, to be very careful not to offend anybody, particularly members of protected groups.
You know, and how would you make a terminology about a student who kills other students, whether it be high school or college? You can't. The common denominator was that they were postal workers, so the word postal could easily be assigned. But now...
Going Columbine?
Yeah, that's an idea, but, you know, it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I guess in a sense. So, I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day, because...
Well, I'm sure glad you called us to tell us what you were thinking about the other day, because we haven't a clue what we think about it.
You know, and it just seems like we're moving more into a taboo society where I thought we came out of that. I mean, you look back to the 50s, what was it, the Brady Bunch was the first show that showed a man and wife sleeping in the same bed?
Mm-hmm. Well, as many people have said before me, if a show like All in the Family, if they attempted to debut that show today, it would not make it onto the airwaves.
Exactly. You know, unless, you know, it's something on the WB, you know, I think...
Even they wouldn't have it.
Not anymore. Not since the merger,
no. HBO, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, then Archie would actually be able to call people the N-word.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, it seems like society's going backwards in our free speech, like it peaked maybe in the 70s there, in a sense.
It sure did.
Would you agree with that?
I think I just said it sure did.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is, let me ask you, Lightning, you're so full of wisdom, what is the cause?
What is the what?
Why are we going backwards?
We're going backwards because we become a more sensitive society. In our effort to consider everybody's sensibilities and to be relatively innocuous and not offend people, we have gone so overboard in protecting people from having their feelings bruised that we have not taken into consideration the fact that free speech has been hampered in the process. And to such an extent have we tried to shield people from having their feelings hurt, from being offended, that we have hurt our society because the level of free speech we once had is no longer possible in this society because you have to be so careful. I think that's the bottom line.
Alex Bennett once said it's like a pendulum. It swings one way, and then it swings the opposite way, and then it swings back again. So, in other words, we went from a period of ultra-conservatism in the 50s to ultra-liberalism, say, in the late 70s, and now it's swinging back. And there's nothing we can do about it because it's cyclic like that. It will be free speech again maybe in 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and I won't be around for it.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I appreciate that. So
okay.
Okay, guys, that's all I have. So, you going to send my gift out or?
Yes, it's sitting up in my locker in the Bronx.
Yes.
We'll get it out next week. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call to the overtime portion of the Extravaganza. Now, without further ado, you heard the non-edited version of the bit that was made available to us. Now let's play for you the way it ended up airing here on Planet Radio.
Thanks for tuning our way. Hope you enjoyed our jingles today. The pleasure's ours from 11 hour and I. We're here for you.
Paula Schlemke is not a professional actor, but a real-life Geico customer. To help tell her story, we hired well-known actor Alec Baldwin.
My daughter just got her license and had a little fender bender at the mall.
I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old or 11 years old or that you're a child.
She called very upset on her cell phone.
And if you don't pick up the phone at 10 o'clock at night and you don't even have that phone turned on, I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you.
So I told her I'd call Geico.
That you would never dream of doing to your mother. And you do it to me constantly and over again. You've made me feel like...
Geico said they'd send someone out right away.
I am going to get on a plane. And I'm going to come out there for the day. And I'm going to straighten your out when I see you. Do you understand me?
Geico was a lot nicer than some people I know.
I'm going to really make sure you get it. What a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
Geico. Real service, real savings, real bad parenting.
Now, because Mike loves it so.
Oh, hello there. I'm John McCain. And if I sounded a little bit different, Sonny... It's because this presidential campaigning is really aging me fast. Sometimes I'm not sure what to say or where I am, and that's put my run for the presidency on life support. But fortunately, I've now got Political Life Alert. So all I have to do is press this button on the pendant I wear, and help is moments away.
He uses Political Life Alert and can summon a political consultant with just the touch of a button.
Senator McCain, what are your feelings about gun control in the wake of this week's Virginia Tech shootings?
Well, Jack Nabbit, if most all our students had had a gun, maybe they could have taken that ugly little gook out.
The senator's a little tired today, folks. Don't worry. The senator will have a position paper ready later this week. Don't worry.
Political Life Alert is your 24-hour emergency consultant response team.
Senator, what should we do about the threat that Iran might pose to the United States?
Why not check that old Beach Boy song? Boom, 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 boom. How about that, guys? Oh, my.
All right, show's over, folks. Show's over. The senator will have a position paper to issue later in the week. Just joking around. Just having a little fun. Take it easy.
Political Life Alert is there when you need it the most.
Help! I've fallen to the polls, and I can't get up. Oh, dear, where's my pendant?
Okay, folks, the senator will have a position paper later this week detailing exactly how we will win the war in Iraq. Please be patient.
With Political Life Alert, you're never alone.
Senator, what do you think of the remarks that got Don Imus fired?
Well, I'm somewhat of a basketball fan, Sonny, and I saw that game, and I've got to agree, those were some nappy-headed hoes there, boy. Jesus Christ, did I just say what I thought I did?
Friends, it's been a long day for the senator. We will have a position paper on this topic available for you later in the week. Please check back.
So call today and let Political Life Alert save your campaign.
Oh, my. Did I just soil myself? Jesus Christ.
Everything's all right, folks. Senator had a little too much Chinese food earlier today. He'll be okay.
Are you sure the senator's all right?
Don't worry. We'll be issuing a positioning paper later in the day. Don't...
So call today.
Call 573-4641. That's 479-0427.
Or visit us online at I'm not that old that I can't get elected, right? .com.
Oh, good heavens.
All right, there it is. And I wish I could find the original version of that. Obviously, that was also edited from another bit that was given to us that I thought was, and I decided to bump it up a few notches. Where's the big guy's mic? I'll give you a mic before we get out of here.
Yeah.
I can't find the original of that one. Then you could appreciate the sheer genius of my editing.
You know, when you figure that McCain was what, a war prisoner of war? He might have an attitude like, let's bomb Iran, because he's been through the crap, you know? So he might have that type of attitude.
I'm trying to find the original. See, the original version of that one, I don't think we kept, because you can hear the editing that goes on. But the version of that one that was sent to us, it was like, I said, gee, it's mediocre. Yeah. It's not me. You know, the way that it didn't work. They have to hire me over there. Hey, if you guys are looking for a comedy writer up there in Connecticut, I got just the guy for you. All right, settle along now.
Yeah, remember you had a little bit you were saying about Alan Weiner and the cylinders before and the dog with the phone. If you punch up my website, just for you, I want you to see what I've got on there in the front page.
All right, but we're not going to be doing that now.
All right, but you'll get the laugh since you mentioned it.
All right. Maybe one last thing. one last thing from our rejected bits pile. Tell me if you think this bit could have been worked, or should have been part of the extravaganza, or might be a part of a future extravaganza. This is one I listened to and I said, yeah, it's okay, but that's about it.
Once again, welcome to the World D Cup. Voluptuous women from around the world compete for bragging rights for the best rack in the world. The crowd are going wild, and here comes Germany's Greta Guttenlumpen. She's taking off her bra. Of course, the German word for brassiere is stops him from flopping. And she's taking it off, and ooh, she's gotten Guten plenty. And here comes her challenger, Italy's Melanie Boyardi Grande from Napoli. Mamma mia, those are some spicy meatballs. And off comes her top. The judges gaze. The crowd goes wild. And it looks like another tie. 42-42. Next up in the World D Cup, it's Yusiki Mibubi from Japan going up against Sweden's Herberty Birdy Shirdy. Till then, I'm Emerson Biggins.
That worked better on the BBC.
There you go. That's a bit. It was like, gee, I don't know. Should we not? Michael, I don't know. Next show.
Yeah, I think so.
Big guy?
Yeah.
That's it. And once again, you never talk over a bed, particularly when it's that loud. My God, when are they going to learn? Unless you know I'm doing this, but I got my finger on the button. I could talk over the bed. That's Sloan. I love Sloan. By the way, their new album is like, I think, already 4 or 5 months old. It's like, there's about 20 songs on it. They're all really short and poppy and real fucking good stuff. I don't know. What do you want to bother me with now?
I should say you should allow us to make a comment rather than just going into a bed, you know?
No. I run this show as I feel pleased. Look, I do it without any concern as to how anybody else in this room is going to react to it. And if you are a bed come up, you have to stow your comment until the end of the bed.
Yeah, but then you lead it into a different direction, and then it makes absolutely pointless, and then you point to me, and I say, duh, 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 and you just call me a jerk. And the point is, you're the jerk!
I would do that anyway, wouldn't I? And yes, I am a jerk. I am a jerk. All right, what's the matter?
What do you always yell at me about? Screaming
everything.
Screaming into the mic from this close, and he just did it.
But he did it purposefully, and he did shift to the knowing that he was going to be live.
It's called working the microphone.
Right.
The point is, he
does know how to work a microphone. You, for 20 fucking years, you still have no idea.
But what he doesn't get is that what he doesn't get is that the microphone is facing him the same way as you. So if he yells at you, he's going to be yelling into the mic. He has to turn his head and yell away from you.
I get it.
Now, now he gets it. Now he has to get it.
I thought I heard absolutely in the background.
Absolutely.
That's it. All right, what are we going to do? Get out of here. That would be really interesting. I wish I had the original version of that bit we played there, because it was just, God, it was weak. original version. I'm looking through the file here. Go ahead, fool for me for a minute there while I continue to look and see. Find the original version. There's the Geico spot. There's the Hillary and Playboy.
Just to let you know that my battery's dead tonight on my radio here, and I can't really hear you too well anymore.
Okay, well, you should take care of that, you know, before, like, you drag
that's
your
the batteries fell out of my jacket when I parked the car.
Imus Cruise Lines. Let's see. We did that one. Jesus, Lord. Let's see what's in here. I didn't go with the I've never seen Simon Crowell in the show. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Lord, I don't give a
Crowell, yeah,
see, that was what else did they send us? Crowell. They sent us the fake Simon bite here. Hit that, Robert.
Simon, what did you think about the Space Shuttle Columbia tragedy in 2003?
It was just nothing. Whoopee.
Simon, over here. Simon. How do you feel about Mother Teresa?
Ghastly with a capital G.
Simon, you must have been saddened by the loss of life and property when Hurricane Katrina hit.
I don't particularly care.
Well, what did you think about the death of JonBenet Ramsey?
Sweet but forgettable, really.
Simon, I'm sorry. Some people may be offended by your comments today. Are you worried about that?
I have nothing to say.
I don't know. That's the stuff they send us.
Nah,
here's your $25. That's what I get
not
for
great.
It.
Not great. Not good at all, really.
That's what I felt. That. No, I got it. I got the, you know, obviously the reasoning behind it there. But, you know, well, at least it was well produced.
Yeah.
If that's the most you can say. And okay, to do something completely different, let's close out tonight with the show open jingle for a change, just to see if Mike notes the one change we made in this week's version of it in honor or memory, perhaps, of the late Don Imus.
It's time for the X-Rated John Lightning Show. If you're easily offended, we suggest you go.
Oh,
if you stay and grab a drink, get in the mood,
cause the show is adults only and it's gonna get rude.
Brooklyn's John B. Lightning,
he's got funny bits.
Absolutely.
He likes to have a giggle and he's full of wit.
He's got sketchy songs and phone calls and without a doubt,
it's better than the rubbish that the others churn out.
Are you ready for the X-Rated
no.
John B. Lightning
Show?
Quack, quack, quack.
I have to get it in there. I just like, you wouldn't believe how long it took to re-edit that thing.
Just add a quack.
But it was worth it. I love that. Okay.
Knowing John, you edited from scratch.
There you
all the elements.
No, not quite. No.
All
not
the elements. That
was a keeper, right?
By the way, we do have, I'll let the cat out of that there, but we do have a couple of new jingles on order. They're a little backed up in Dallas, but we do have a couple of new jingles on order. That's all I'm going to say. That I'm going to play to fucking death. That's all. Because they cost way too much money not to play to death. Okay, any final words, gentlemen? I got to get out of here. We've given them too much overtime again.
Jeez. Too much fun.
Hmm?
Too much of nothing, fun. Right? Yeah. Too much. Who did that? Mom's and Papa's?
What?
Too much of nothing? Who did that record?
I know.
You don't remember either.
I don't remember what. What's going on? What am I missing now?
Some song he was trying to... Remember.
Yeah, so Too Much of Nothing. I can't remember who did that.
That was a folk song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was that perhaps a Peter, Paul, and Mary
probably
or something like
Peter,
that?
Probably Peter, Paul, Mary, yeah. Probably right. Peter, Paul, and Mary, yeah.
I'm vaguely remembering that
yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I couldn't remember who did it, you see.
Okay.
It's probably an album 1700, which means I got to dig out that old vinyl and take a listen to it.
All right, you do that, and we're going to play a generic grab bag, pull one off the computer jingle, and say goodnight. Thanks, y'all.
The first and finest.